Well, good morning, everyone. So I'm going to talk on a topic this morning that I have not mastered by any means. It's a struggle for me, and I think it's a struggle for most of humanity, and that is the topic of forgiveness. So this past week, I had an incident happen that it was kind of thought-provoking, and I was trying to decide how I can integrate it into this morning. What happened is somebody did not latch the trailer onto the truck the way they were supposed to, and as they were loading something, the front end of the trailer popped up and it yanked the trailer plug out. But not only did it just yank it out of the truck, it yanked it out of the pigtail plug itself. And being an odd manufactured trailer as it is, it does not have the standard wiring procedure like most do, they're not wired up in the same way as a lot of them are. So I had to go through and take quite a bit of time to figure out how to get this thing back together so that the lights all work the way they're supposed to and it doesn't keep blowing fuses. And the one thing that stood out to me is the ground wire always has to be in the right place or nothing will work. And kind of the way I took that is the ground wire can be Jesus. If Jesus is not in the right place, it might look like life is working until we get to the end. But then, unfortunately, we will see that life did not work the way we thought it was working. So Jesus needs to be in the right place, and then the rest of the wires, I was thinking of those as in priorities. If we don't have our priorities straight, life also is not going to go as well. And it's going to be a struggle. We're going to get burnt out. It's just not going to go great. So let's keep Jesus first and our priorities straight the way they should be, and life will go a lot better. So I have 3 points here. And the first one is what forgiveness is not, and then a journey, a process, and redemption. So we'll start with what forgiveness is not. And I don't have a whole lot of scriptures. I have mostly just a lot of thoughts. So if anything stands out to you at any point, you're welcome to share it. And yeah, I'm definitely open for a correction. If anything is said that's not quite accurate, please let me know. So forgiveness is not pretending it never happened, and it's not being a doormat opening yourselves to being mistreated by others. It is not living life without setting boundaries, because there actually is a lot of freedom in boundaries. It is not a lack of accountability or consequences. It is not squinting your eyes and saying, "I forgive." It needs to come from the heart and be genuine. Then moving on to a journey, a process. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean your relationship will automatically be restored to normal. It may never really continue, but it brings freedom to you in the sense that you aren't controlling you with your own anger. Because if we're mad at somebody and don't forgive them, we're really controlling ourselves. Or their anger is controlling us. And that can be very detrimental. Thank you. Forgiveness is one of those journeys that is difficult. You won't always get it right. You may have thought that you have forgiven something only to have it slap you in the face again later. Keep forgiving, keep opening the door to your own freedom from that past. Depending on the severity, it can take years. So be patient, and for those walking with them or looking on, we need not to judge or be disrespectful. Remember, life is a journey. And obviously we're not all at the same place in that journey, so let's give each other grace and be patient with each other. We will have a much better chance at keeping a brother or sister encouraged and maintaining a true follower of Christ if we check in with each other frequently. Because accountability is worth a lot. And if we don't have accountability, we are often going to tend to stray. I know if I don't have somebody asking me, how's it going? Where am I at? I can stray a long way before anybody realizes, and at that point it might be too late. Or I might be far enough down the path that it could take a while to get things made right again. When checking in with each other, we need to be very careful that we do it in a loving and caring way rather than being judgmental about it. Being judgy never helps. I beg and plead with you, please go talk to the person with whom you have a problem. Talking to other people behind their backs does not feel good, and it's actually very hurtful. Nor is it the way God wants us to deal with each other. And then I'm going to read a little bit out of Matthew 18, 15 to 18. Matthew 18, starting in verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the means of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So here we say that, see that God is telling us, go and talk with the person you have a problem with. Because chances are they might recognize it and be willing to make it right on the spot. And if that is the case, then there's no need to blow it out of proportion, and there's no need to create a bunch of gossip about it. I have witnessed far too many people that have moved out of their community because a former sin or offense that they committed was never put to rest. I find that very sad, and I know that God does not approve of such behavior either. Why can't we just forgive? God has given to us what we could not get for ourselves and do not deserve, in that he forgave us and redeemed us of our sins. Be holy as God is holy. In Exodus 6:6, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. The redemption of the children of Israel didn't happen instantly. Redemption is a process, and sometimes it takes a long time. Redemption refers to the process of being delivered through payment. That payment is called a ransom. The ransom price was his blood poured out on the cross. The blood of Christ is enough to change our identity from slaves of sin to sons of God. And I actually find that very encouraging. God will guide us all the way home, but only if we ask him and rely on him. God loves us with an unconditional love. The journey to freedom through forgiveness leads us in paths of peace and joy rather than the bitterness and the need for justice to be served. Forgiveness is a process where you get to the place that you let go of resentment. God will not abandon us nor let us utterly fail if we ask for his help. And why is it so hard to forgive? Or why are we so stubborn about it? seems like a simple thing. But unfortunately, the human flesh doesn't think that way. Does unforgiveness hurt me or the other person the most? I think we all know that answer. It is hurtful if somebody doesn't forgive you. But if you don't forgive somebody, you're really hurting yourself in the long run. Forgiving is a process, and if it is a bigger problem, don't expect it to go away overnight. Making all kinds of excuses isn't acceptable either. But seek God and forgive as soon as possible. If the mountain ahead is too big to move, then start with the little foothills and work your way up to the mountains. Life is a journey. We are people, not God. Sometimes that means taking baby steps. If it feels overwhelming, get a brother or sister in Christ to walk with you. God put us here to help each other and not to just walk on our own. Forgiveness doesn't happen in a heartbeat. It can be a lengthy healing process. And then forgiveness is a choice. It is a calling of all followers of Christ, not just some. A hallmark of the Christian's journey, the commitment to becoming a forgiving person. As Jesus breathed his last words, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if anybody could be bitter about and bitter towards anybody, it was Jesus. He endured a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of false accusations that were not true in the slightest bit. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." This clearly says that God forgives us as we forgive others. So how is our Father in heaven going to forgive us if we don't forgive our fellow brothers and sisters? And then Peter asks, how often must we forgive others? 7 times? Jesus responded, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Was Jesus saying 490 is the perfect number? No, of course not. Although the number 7 symbolized completion in those days, which is something that actually kind of stood out to me, because I often wondered what was with 7. But back in their day, 7 meant, or was kind of referred to as completion. That was not Jesus' point. Jesus' point was that we ought to keep on forgiving and not bother keeping track of how often we have forgiven. After all, God calls us to be a forgiving people. Forgiveness is a choice that you and I must make. Others can exhort us to forgive, but ultimately it is up to us. They cannot force us to forgive. We do not need to be victims. God has given us the tools. We need to forgive, be happy, and live victoriously. And then there's a lot of, obviously, different levels of hurt. That some levels are easy to forgive and others are more difficult to forgive. Are you going to trap yourself in anger and bitterness, or are you going to take the key, put it in the lock, turn, and release yourself? Only you can do that. Only I can do that for myself. Unforgiveness is dangerous. It will eventually turn you into a bitter, sour, perpetually angry person who will likely eventually lash out at someone that is completely uninvolved in the original offense or situation. That's a danger of not dealing with it as it comes up. Forgiveness is about focusing on more positive things by stepping out of the cycle of always feeling like you need to strike back, to prove your strength, which only leads them to strike back, and the vicious cycle of revenge goes on and on. Gandhi said, "An eye for an eye world will soon go blind." Which is very true. If we keep stabbing each other's eyes, that will eventually all be blind. Jesus said, "You have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, repay no one evil for evil. Instead, repay evil with good." Let your strength be shown in forgiveness, not retaliation. One layer of forgiveness pertains to the little everyday annoyances or irritations. The more you forgive, the easier it gets. The deeper hurts that are longer lasting generally isn't one incident, but a pattern of behavior, broken trust, betrayals by someone close, etc. Anger turned inward is depression. Who enjoys depression? A happy person is much more enjoyable to be with. And then moving on to redemption, we're reading in Isaiah 61, 7 to 11. Starting in verse 7. "Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the prosperity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." And then the scripture right after that is Ephesians 1, 7 to 9. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. We are, / were, the awful sinners. Jesus never sinned. But thankfully, he was willing to pay the debt that he did not owe and forgave us of all our sins. So what right do we have to withhold forgiveness? There is no one so low in their sin that Christ can't save them. He was born under the law, so that he could identify with and redeem those who were under the law as well. Our identity apart from Christ is that we are slave to sin. The law is not what saves us, it only points out that we need to be saved. The law doesn't make us holy, it simply reveals that we are not holy. The law is like an x-ray machine that shows us that our bones are broken, but the x-ray machine can't put us back together. It only shows us the problem. We need someone to come and save us, to rescue us, to put our bones back together into the right place. And that is what God promised to do. He promised that a time would come when he would arrive to redeem us from slavery. The word redemption was first used in the 14th century and is defined as the act, process, an instance of redeeming, or fact of redeeming. So we can see that the word redemption is not an old word, or not a new word. It's a very old word. It's been around for a long time. Forgiveness is really like giving yourself a gift. It's rewarding. The scientific community has researched forgiveness and has come to the conclusion, from a purely secular perspective, that forgiveness has some serious psychological benefits. People who forgive are likely to see improvements in their health, overall sense of well-being, and relationships with people who are closest to them. So even the world can see that there's benefit in it. Although they might not practice it the best, they can see there's benefit in it. Being a forgiving person fills us with a substantial amount of inner peace. In the book, Forgiveness is a Choice, Robert D. Enright suggests 4 steps to resolving anger and restoring hope. First one is uncovering your anger. Second step is deciding to forgive. Third is working on forgiveness. And the fourth is discovery and release from emotional prison. For the Christian, redemption comes through Christ's blood. Blood and pain had to happen for us to truly be redeemed. Since Christ gave all, including his blood and tremendous amounts of pain, should we not selflessly follow in his steps and be willing to drop all charges and assumptions against others for their wrongdoing? I know facts are facts, but we have to be careful that we don't turn assumptions into facts, because that can become a very dangerous step. If they are truly repentant and have changed their way and serve God wholeheartedly, should we not rejoice with them for the healing and redemption God has brought about in them and their hearts? Romans 12:15, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. And Luke 15:7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Why do we as God's people find it so difficult to accept a fellow brother or sister, or fellow brother or sister's sincere heart of repentance? After a wrongdoing or sin, it will take time to build up trust again. But how much time should that take? I think we've all done things that were not right. And we all know there's a time of proving that needs to happen. We can't expect to do something wrong, to break somebody's trust, and then instantly have them trust again. That's just not how it works. But it's also not right to never ever again trust them even after they have proven themselves. The amount of time it takes definitely depends on the enormity of the sin or offense committed. Is it okay to keep rubbing that sin or offense in their face for months or years afterwards? At what point does God want us to let go of it and trust that person again? Trusting that person again does by no means mean that we should never ask them how they're doing, or are you still being victorious in your walk with God? In fact, I believe God wants us to check in with each other frequently. God changed me from a slave, which is sin, bitterness, unforgiveness, etc., to a son. Shouldn't I be so grateful for everything that God has blessed me with that I am more than willing to extend a hand of grace to those that still need it, to those that are still a slave, or those that are getting out of slavery? We went from being stuck in slavery to being an heir. Isn't God's redemption incredible? And then ending that section with Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And in conclusion, Luke 11:13, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And here's a little poem I had actually forgotten about until this morning. The title of it is Walking. I keep getting rocks in my shoe. I just keep walking. Finally, I take time to stop to dump them out. My foot still feels the soreness, but it's so much better. Why do we insist on carrying the burdens of unforgiveness in our lives? Let's dump it all at Jesus' feet. He will gladly take it. May God bless each one of you.